I usually do not make announcements on this program, but chiefly because these tapes are played on other stations. There's a station in California and one in Alabama, which receives these tapes and plays them at a later date. But I have two or three announcements to make just for this audience here in this area, Channel 13. Now, when you tune in your television next Sunday morning at 9:30 to get this program, don't be alarmed when it's not on. But through the month of February, February the 13th, the 20th, and 27th, this program will not be seen. It's preempted by the Olympics. Channel 13 has an obligation to CBS and will not be showing the program for those Sundays. But we'll be back on, the Lord willing, the first Sunday in March. Now, I preached a message some time ago in a meeting. I forget where it was, but I preached on the book of Ruth. And I showed how that the book of Ruth was written to set forth Christ, the kinsman redeemer. That the book of Ruth was written not to glorify Ruth, but to set forth our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, as are all the books in the Old Testament. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And after the service, a man came to me and he said, "You know," he said, "I've never seen Christ in the Old Testament. I never have seen Christ as the kinsman redeemer and Christ as the Passover lamb and these things that you mentioned tonight. This has opened a whole new avenue for me in studying the Scriptures, seeing Christ in the Old Testament." Well, that's what the Old Testament Scriptures, that's why they're written. To give witness to Christ Jesus. He told the Pharisees, he said, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me." And in Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says, "To him give all the prophets witness. Abraham saw my day. Moses wrote of me," Christ said. So Christ is in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Well, I have in my hand a book. Now, the cameraman is going to give you a close-up picture of this book. This book is called Pictures of Christ in the Old Testament with New Testament Eyes. It has 48 chapters, and I deal with the fall. I deal with Abel's offering. I deal with the Ark of Noah. I deal with Joseph opening the storehouses all the way from Genesis to the book of Job. 48 chapters. This book has been translated into French. It's used in Africa, in a French preacher school. It's now being translated into Russian, and they'll distribute 10,000 copies of this book in Russia, Christ in the Old Testament. I'd like for you who are interested to have this book. It sells for $5. If you want a copy of this book with New Testament eyes, send $5. We'll mail it to you, the Lord willing, by return mail. Christ in the Old Testament. Some of you may already have this book. I've had it for some time now. But in the event that you do not have it, would like to have it, write to us. The address will be given to you later. And order the book with New Testament eyes. Now, here's one other announcement. The Lord willing, I'll be preaching next weekend, February the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th. Across some dear friends in Cottageville, West Virginia. I'll be preaching there Friday night at 7 o'clock, Saturday night at 7 o'clock, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday night at 6:30. That's the Millsite Baptist Church, where Brother Doug Weaver is the pastor. Millsite Baptist Church in Cottageville, West Virginia. And the church is located on one of the main roads, Route 33, in Cottageville, West Virginia. I'll be there, the Lord willing, next Friday night, February the 11th, Saturday night, 7 p.m. each night, and Sunday morning and Sunday night to preach the gospel. I hope you live in that area. You'll come and hear the Word of God preached. Now, I want you to open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 15. I'm going to bring you a message entitled Electing Love. Electing Love. And John chapter 15, verse 16 is my text. I'll be using several other scriptures. I wish you'd take your Bibles and follow along with me as I turn to these scriptures. But we'll speak on electing love. Now, here in John 15, 16, our Lord said to the disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." This is in John 15. Now, there's something special. I told our congregation this not too long ago. There's something special about these four chapters in the book of John, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Something very special. For these four chapters record the last days and the last hours which our Lord spent with His disciples before He went to the cross, before He died on Calvary and rose again. And in these four chapters, He talks with His disciples. He talks with them and comforts them and instructs them. You see, these men faced an unfriendly, hostile world. They were going out to preach the gospel, and a gospel which is contrary to the ways and thoughts of natural men. And they were going to preach the gospel of God's grace, which is so contrary to the gospel of works and even brings the wrath of religious people upon them. Not only the natural world, but the religious world would bring their wrath down upon these dear men. And these men would undergo great hardships and hatred and even die. Every one of them but one was killed because of the gospel that he preached. And our Lord said that when he finished speaking to them in John 13, 14, 15. In the last verse in chapter 16, he said, "And in this world you'll have tribulation, troubles, and trials. But be of good cheer. I've overcome this world." So if you'll read these chapters, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16 of John, you'll find our Lord instructing, comforting, and encouraging His people. And it's for you and for me. We're His people. We're His disciples. We're His children. And the same things that He said to them, He says to us in John 13, when He washed their feet and gave them that example. He said, "No pride is to exist among you. No contention, no strife, no envy." There's no place for pride and envy in the family of God. "He who would be your leader, let him be your servant. He who would minister, let him be a servant of all." And our Lord said, "If I, your master, have washed your feet, you ought to do the same for one another." See, pride and grace are inconsistent. They just don't go together. And then in chapter 14, they were so troubled and downcast, He told them He was going away. "I'm going back to the Father." And they were troubled, and He said to them, "Now don't be discouraged. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to the cross, to the tomb, to the right hand of God to prepare a place for you. And my promise is sure. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Well, show us the Father, they said. "He that has seen me has seen the Father." You've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And then in John 15, having left that room where they were having the meal, in John 13, 14, it says in the last verse of chapter 14, He said to them, "Let's go hence." Come on, let's go. And they left the room. In John 15, having left the room with these disciples, some way I believe they passed a vineyard. Vineyards were very plentiful in that area. And I feel like perhaps the Lord and His disciples walked by a vineyard, because that's when He picked up this conversation. He said, "I am the vine, and you're the branches." You see, He says, just as that vine and those branches are one, you and I are one. But I'm the vine and you're the branches. He said, when He prayed to the Father, He said, "I in them and thou in me, that we may be made one." And that's what he says to these disciples. You see that? You see that vineyard? See the vine? See the branches? See the leaves? See the grapes? See the fruit? Well, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You see, the branches, he said, have no life in themselves. The life's in the vine. And the branches live because they're in the vine. Apart from the vine, the branches would be withered and die and be fit only to be burned. Even so, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you see, you have life. I'm the life. I'm the vine. And you're the branches. And you abide in me, you have life. And these branches, they do not bear fruit of themselves. That fruit there is the fruit of the vine. Oh, the branch bears the fruit, and the fruit is on the branch. But the branch bears fruit because of the vine, because of the life and nourishment and strength it receives from the vine. Even so, he said, without me, you can do nothing. So that's the relationship we have. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Then look down in verse 16 of John 15, this same chapter here. And he says, this relationship, I'm the vine, you're the branches, you live in me, you bear fruit because of me. What you have, I give you. You participate and partake of me, my life, my redemption. And this relationship between you and me is not something that you've done. It's something I've done. This relationship between you and me is not because of a choice which you made. It's because of a choice which I made. The vine's not of the branch. The branch is of the vine. That's when he said this in verse 16. See, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I chose you that you should go and bring forth fruit. My fruit. My will, my purpose, my glory. And that being in the vine and a branch of the vine bearing fruit, my fruit, that fruit will remain. Because it's from me. You have no cause to be proud. You were children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive in Christ. We have no reason to be proud. The glory is His. God forbid, Paul said. I guess one of the greatest preachers who ever lived, the greatest writer who ever lived, the man who suffered more than any preacher who ever lived, said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have no cause to boast before men. Who maketh you to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? Now, if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? You have no cause to glory in what you have. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. You have no cause to glory in who you are. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You have no cause to glory in what you know. Like our Lord said to Peter. Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Jeremiah the prophet speaks to all of us in chapter 9. And he says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his strength. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, saith the Lord. How does a man know God? How can a man know God? Only in Christ. That's what our Lord said to the disciples. He that has seen me has seen the Father. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son hath declared him. The Son quickeneth, you see, whom he will. So our Lord says to these disciples, you didn't choose me. I chose you. But preacher, these men did choose Christ, didn't they? They did come to Christ, didn't they? They did love Christ, didn't they? They did follow Christ. For didn't they say, Lord, we've left all and followed you? Of course they did. But they loved him because he loved them. They chose Christ because he chose them. You see, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. We love him because he first loved us. You see that? We choose him in response to his choice. We call on him in response to his call. We cast ourselves upon him in response to his drawing. Our Lord Jesus said in John 6:37, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. Yes, they do come. They come because the Father called them. They come because the Father drew them. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. They shall be taught of God, and every man that hath learned and heard of the Father, he comes. He comes. What do you say? I'm saying this. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. We're one as the vine and the branches. But I want you to understand this. This relationship and this grace and this mercy is not because of something you've done or a choice you made. I did the work and I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And we love him because he first loved us. And we do come to Christ because he came to us. We do call upon his name because he called upon us. His people, David said in Psalm 110, shall be made willing in the day of his power. That's his precious electing love, electing grace. Paul summed it up in Ephesians 1. Listen to him. Blessed be the God and Father. Thank God he didn't pass us by. Thank God he didn't leave us in darkness. Thank God he loved us first. Thank God he called us. Thank God he chose us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, even as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Who? God? What? Chose us? When? Before the world began? For what purpose? That we might be holy, adopted sons of God? Why us? Because it seemed good in his sight, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Can you think of any other reason? Why would God love you and me? David said, when I consider the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the work of thy hands, the things you've made, what is man that thou should be mindful of him? David, even King David, man after God's own heart, said, who am I? What is my people that you should show such mercy to us? Why? Our Lord Jesus Christ one day was rebuking the cities in which his mighty works were done, Chorazin, Bethsaida, those others, Capernaum. He said, woe unto you. If the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. And then he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, I thank you. I thank you. You've hid these things, these mysteries, this glorious gospel. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. What am I saying? I'm saying what he said. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't love me. I loved you. You didn't call upon me. I called upon you. I have chosen you. That's so clear in the Scriptures. The children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, electing love, might stand. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. What shall we say to these things? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. He said to Moses, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. That's what the Scripture says. 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, I'm bound to give thanks to God for you all, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Who chose whom? Well, I choose Jesus. I tell you, if you do, it's because He chose you. Well, I love Jesus. Sure, you do. I do. But I love Him because He first loved me. I came to Christ. I came brokenhearted, repenting, believing to Christ. You know why? He drew me. He made me willing. He gave me the grace. He gave me the repentance. God chose you to salvation from the beginning of this world through sanctification and belief of the Spirit. Now, watch this. Christ said to these beloved disciples, you didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. Oh, what a horrible indictment. What a charge, what a serious charge to bring against us, considering who He is, considering what we are and who we are, and considering what we need, and yet we won't come to Him. This is a universal charge. It goes throughout the Scriptures. He was in the world. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. Isaiah wrote about it. He said He grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, and there was no beauty about Him that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected of me, and a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we didn't come to Him. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He came into His own received Him not. He said to the religious leaders, you search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life. There they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. O Jerusalem, how often would I have drawn you, but you would not. He said in John 5, I come in my Father's name, and you won't receive me. Let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. Why? You didn't choose me. Left to yourself, you'd perish in your sins or in your religion or in your self-righteousness or in your morality, left to yourself. God has to quicken. God has to awaken. God has to call. God has to move upon us in love and grace, or we'll never move toward Him. That's right. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish. But to unto us, it's the wisdom and power of God. Who's the us? I've chosen you. Now why? Why do men not choose Christ? Why do they not come to Christ? I'll give you four reasons. The first reason is this. They don't know who He is. They just don't know who He is. They do not. When He talked to the woman at the well, here's a woman, a great sinner, who needs a Savior desperately, just like you and I need a Savior. And here's the Savior standing looking her in the face. And he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water if you knew who talks to you. 1 Corinthians 2:8 said, If the leaders of this world had known who He was, they'd have never put Him on that tree. But they didn't know. And they cried, give us Barabbas. Well, what did I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Crucify Him! They didn't know who He was. And that's the reason people do not choose Christ. They don't know who He is. Secondly, the reason men do not choose Christ, you have not chosen me, He said. The second reason is this, they do not need Christ. They do not need His blood to cleanse because they don't think they're sinners. They do not need His righteousness to cover their guilt because they think they've got a righteousness. That's right. Matthew chapter 9, our Lord was having a meal with a group of sinful people, and the religious men were watching. And He said to His disciples, the religious fellows turned to His disciples, and they said, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? And our Lord knew what they were saying. He looked back at them and He said, the well do not need a physician, but they that are sick. You go learn what that means. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. People do not come to Christ and do not choose Christ because they don't think they need Christ. Those Pharisees said, we be not sinners. We be not born in original sin. We be not born of fornication. God is our Father. Abraham is our Father. Christ said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. I came from God. If Abraham were your father, you'd do the works of Abraham. The third reason why they do not choose Christ is this. They do not see the wisdom of God in the death of Christ. They see no reason for him to die. Do you? He didn't die as an example or a martyr or a reformer. He died as a substitute. You see, there was a law. There was a law to satisfy and a justice to honor. And he died for us that God may be just and justified. Do you see that? That's right. There's a law to be honored and a justice to be satisfied. And Christ, as our sin offering and substitute, came and fulfilled the law, kept it, every jot and tittle, giving us who believe on him a perfect righteousness. Went to the cross and died and paid our sin debt. Now, people who realize that, they look to Christ, believe on him, receive him. The fourth reason is this, that people do not have any desire to walk the walk of Christ. They do not desire the life of a disciple, the walk of a disciple. No man can serve two masters. People don't want to give up the world. They don't want to give up the world. They want a religion that leaves them alone, leaves them where they are, with whom they are, doing what they do, making money like they do, living like they live. They want a convenient religion. And that's what the churches and preachers today are giving them. Nobody's demanding. Nobody's demanding. Turn from your idols to the living God. Come to Christ in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. People do not know who he is. They do not need him. They do not see the wisdom in Christ's death. And they do not want to walk with him as Lord of their lives. That's right. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And you want this message, Electing Love. $2, we'll send it to you. You want the book with New Testament eyes? I believe it'll help you in your Bible study. Write for us. Send $5. That's what the book costs. Until till March the 6th. That's when we'll be back here. 3 weeks we won't be on. Olympics. But March the 6th, we'll see you again. God bless you, everyone.